It's time now to get the hell out of your life. A weekly broadcast with real people, sharing real struggles and offering real hope. Today's show will encourage, inspire, and empower you to face life's challenges with a bold confidence and renewed hope. Now, let's join our host, Ron Myers, the promoter.
Hello, my friends. It is so good to be with you today. Before I talk about today's show, I have to tell you something. I live in an area where there are a lot of trees, and there's an eagle's nest somewhere in the vicinity of where I live. And this morning, I saw this beautiful bald eagle flying above my home. And I thought of that scripture verse, Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What a promise from God. So if you're tired today, if you're weary today, I want to encourage you. You will be like that eagle I saw this morning and be soaring very soon. And I believe today's show is going to encourage and inspire you. You and I are getting older, and one day we will be at the end of our life. Well, today I have invited a chaplain, a hospice chaplain, to be a part of our conversation. So listeners, I want to introduce my guest. He's on the phone with me. His name is John Wenderlein, and he has written a book, Remember Me, End of Life, Has Seen Through the Eyes of a Hospice Chaplain. John, so glad you are able to visit with my listeners today. I have to ask you, though, brother, why did you write a book like this?
Well, you know, Ron, I'll tell you, it's hard for me to say that I never would write a book like this, because what happened is 20 years ago or so, I decided to step into this profession. You know, I just felt a need to for a release. And over the years, I have just basically downloaded my brain, my stories into my computer. And, you know, about a year ago, I had a close friend say, John, you know, these stories that you have, you just need to let people know, that it's going to be okay. And that there's a great love given at the end of life. So, you know, it was definitely a labor of love.
Your patients, do all of them, 100% of them, believe in Jesus?
Well, you know, one of the most amazing things about being a chaplain is that, especially a hospice chaplain, is that you meet all kinds of people, you know, all walks of life. You know, you and I understand that, like in Ecclesiastes, where it says that life is full of seasons, and these people are coming to the end of their season. So I meet all kinds. I meet them where you could look at them and say, you know what, where the Bible says that if you stay with me long enough, I will take away the big things where the little things don't matter. I've met those people. I've met people who've said, I'm just not sure. And you know, Ron, I've met people who literally go out screaming.
What do you mean, go out screaming?
Well, what happens, Ron, when a man or one of our patients, not a man or woman, just one of our patients, we're having issues with trying to get them to get their medications right. And I'm sure you understand that with your father, making sure he's pain-free. We call it palliative care. Well, you know, there's a resistance of the spirit to, you know, to be subdued and to, let's say, give in. I've had probably a couple dozen patients in the 20 years I've been doing this literally scream, I don't want you here. I've had them, and we've taken them to our special locations. We have specific locations where we treat them more specially with our nurses and better medical care. And still, my doctors will say, you know, chaplain, they went out screaming. There was no amount of medication we could give them without them just screaming. So I see all facets, Ron.
So does that mean they never accepted Jesus as their savior?
Well, you know, you never know that. You know, the second chapter of Romans says we're to be careful. We're not to judge. We give that in the hands of God. But, you know, the book of James says that, you know, there's evidence. There's evidence of salvation, not your works, but there's evidence of a love for Christ. So, you know, if you just took it on the merit of what you've seen and what you know and what life they've led until they're 70, 80, 90 years that they're getting ready to pass, you can say, well, you know, they might be that thief on the cross. You know, we just don't know. You know, for me, it's always been proof, Ron, that God uses all people for all things.
Yep.
You know, one of my sayings as a pastor, as a chaplain, as a father, a husband, is that as long as there's breath, there's hope.
Amen. Tell us one of your favorite stories that's in your book of one of your patients.
Well, I met a sweet lady who wanted to be 100 years old. I walked into her room, really nice ALF, you know, assisted living facility, really nice, upscale. And when I walked in, she had the elections of 2016 on there, Fox News. And of course, the first thing I said was, "Miss Agnes, are you political?" And she said to me, "I surely am." So I said, "Well, sweet lady, I'm not. I'm just here to love you up and let's have conversation." So, you know, she was born and raised a Catholic, but she didn't own a Bible. She was 99 years old, never had a Bible. And when I came to visit her a second time, you know, we probably spent 20, 30 minutes with her. So I said, you know, "I'm going to come see her again next week." And the week passed and I went to see her and I walked in and she had a real stern look on her face and I couldn't figure out why. And I said, "What's going on with you?" And she said, "You know, I've been thinking." And I said, "Sweet lady, I told you, don't be thinking. It's going to get you in trouble." Because she just, you know, she was one of those people, Rod, that had an opinion on everything, even if she didn't know. So she said, "You know, I lost my husband about 15 years ago." I said, "Yeah, I know." And she said, "I loved him to death." And I said, "I know. You told me the story." She said, "You know, when I die and I get to heaven, if he has found somebody else, I'm really going to be mad." And I laughed. And I said, "Sweet lady, that's not the way it works, you know." And Ron, for that amount of time, and probably she lived about 6 months longer. Her heart just failed her. But in that time, I became the Bible answer man. Gave her a pad and a pencil. I said, "Sweet lady, I'll tell you what you do. I'll come see you once a week. You write down the thoughts and questions you have, and then we'll talk." Well, you know, that went on for 6 months till she got the flu, and her family called me to come to the hospital where she was. And I remember us all standing around and me holding her hand and telling her it's going to be all right. And I prayed with the family in the room. And probably 30, 40 minutes after I left, she passed away. So I tell people all the time, Ron, one would think that I am doing such wonderful things. But, you know, God puts me in those places to show me what's going on, to give me an understanding of who he is. I found as much glory in visiting with that sweet lady as she found with me visiting with her. So That's just one, but I probably have over 1,000 stories now.
What's one question or a few questions you hear a lot from people near the end of their life?
It's probably something that you and I understand probably better than most, because I know you're a man of the word. But, you know, it's that moment of death. You know, it's that moment that the Bible says that in the twinkling of an eye, you will be with me in paradise. You know, people worry and they worry and they worry and they worry and they become consumed by this thing of death. But if you study death in the scriptures, you realize it's just the time it takes to blink your eyes. Now, are we denigrating? Is our bodies wasting away, as Paul said in the Bible, in the scriptures? Of course. But so I find it's that moment of death, the moment that they're no longer going to breathe, that seems to scare people. Death lingers around all of us in some form or fashion. I used to say, and I said it even to this sweet lady who I just gave you the story. I said, you know, my prayer is that when I get close to passing, if I know I'm going to pass, that I go out in glory. Because, you know, Ron, I've seen sweet ladies and sweet men say, I'm ready. And you know what? I sensed in them that they were ready. So my prayer is that when I get to that point in life, that I just become a wonderful witness for them.
You know, John, chances are somebody is listening to this that is near the end of their life and they don't go to church. They're not in hospice yet. They don't have a chaplain. They sit in their house alone wondering every day, what in the world do I do? What would you tell that person?
We can take all the books of the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, and we can narrow it down to one simple thing Christ said when he was wandering this earth. And he said, if you don't have me in your heart, if you don't have love in your heart, you don't have me. That person that's home, that's my greatest fear, is that there's going to be somebody that's going to be at the end of their life that I hadn't had the opportunity to meet. And, you know, I'm going to have to leave them in the hands of God if they pass away beforehand. Because, you know, as part of my job, I'm on call. So I may be at home at 2 o'clock in the morning and then I get a call from the hospital that somebody that I don't know, I've never met, may have been in a car accident, may have had a heart attack or stroke or whatever, and they're either dying or they've died. So I walk into those situations with not great sorrow, but great wonderment. And for that person who's at home, who is struggling, they just need to bow their heads. Jesus said that we have an individual walk with him. It doesn't require sprinkling of water, doesn't require anything but just a faith and a commitment. And that's an individual commitment. So I try my best. Trust me. I jokingly say, Ron, when I get that call at 2 o'clock in the morning, I start running towards the hospital and I let the car catch up with me. I really do.
This is really a passionate call on your life, isn't it?
It is. You know, I came to understand who God was in my early 30s. I'm not 30 now. I'm in my early 60s. But I went to seminary, did all those things, and I couldn't figure out why the Lord hadn't got me one of these big churches. You know, that's the way we think we should do things. And finally, it dawned on me that while I was in seminary, one of the presidents had us in the war. If you remember, they were calling up our National Guard. So many of the men that were in seminary were being called up to go to war. And I remember at the age of 40 trying to join the military because I'd read an article that said for every 1,000, 1,200 men, there was only one chaplain. So I said, boy, I can't imagine a man or a woman dying in the heat of battle and not have somebody there to say it's going to be okay. And, you know, and that just turned into this passion that, again, I have to say that this is, as much as I like to think that, you know, I'm doing something wonderful, the Lord is doing something wonderful for me. He's given me my purpose, you know, and I'm going to do this until I'm not healthy enough to do it anymore.
Listeners, if you just tuned in, I'm talking with John Wenderlein. He's got a book out called Remember Me, End of Life as Seen Through the Eyes of a Hospice Chaplain. Since you deal with people at the end of their life, will you take a minute and speak life into somebody listening that is ready to just give up and they said, I'm ready to go. He can take me tomorrow. Speak life to that person.
I believe scripture tells us that, and Paul's clear, that we're not to attach ourselves to this world. So if somebody is ready, if that person is ready to just say, you know, it's time. You know, I walk into a room filled full of patients, family members, and sometimes they're near death and sometimes they're not yet ready to die. And they'll ask me to pray. And I tell them every time before I pray, it's never failed over the last years. I tell them that I'm going to pray for God's mercy. I'm going to pray for God's swiftness, and I'm going to pray for God's love. And if the Lord chooses to lift that sweet person that you love so much out of that bed, then so be it. But today we're going to just pray for his mercy, and we're going to pray that when he comes swiftly. So I try my best.
Amen. You know, John, when my mother was on hospice, she died at the young age of 59 with cancer. And before she died, she looked up in the corner of the room and said, Mom, have you experienced that with the patients that you deal with?
That's a whole heavy subject to breach, and we don't have enough time to do that. But I have to tell you, I lost my father 4 years ago, Christmas, the 18th day of December, near Christmas. And he was in a hospital bed in the living room so people could come visit him and he could watch his TV and whatever. But as he got closer to the end of his life, I remember I was sitting there talking to him. And he said, he looked up and there was a little hallway between where he was laying. And he said, what's Dad doing here? Now, his father has been dead for 4 decades. And I said, oh, your dad's here. He goes, yeah, why is he here? I said, well, Dad, he's here to see you, I imagine. And you know, Ron, it wasn't but maybe 15 or 20 minutes. Now, my father was talking without confusion. Now, you know, he wasn't mumbling and stumbling and pausing. He was talking because he would go right back into, you know, his fishing or whatever else story he were talking about. But then maybe 20 minutes later, he said, man, I wish my mother would come back out of the kitchen so we could talk. Now, his mama was sweet, sweet, sweet spirited woman who just loved the Lord. But she was been gone for 2 decades. So I said, Dad, your mama will see you later. And she does. I want to see Grandma. So all that time that he said that, I didn't say anything different. I just affirmed whatever he was saying. And, you know, the biggest mistake we make with our patients is we, especially if they have dementia or Alzheimer's, is that we want to argue with them about facts. If they say the world is flat, you tell them it's flat. Because Amen. You know what? You want them to get peace.
Someone younger listening right now that is dealing with the end of life for a loved one in their family, and it's a lot of pressure on them. Any advice for a sibling taking care of a loved one?
There's no amount of education you can go to become a caregiver. I'll tell you, a caregiver is somebody who doesn't sleep, only if the loved one sleeps, who doesn't eat, only if the loved one eats, who doesn't do anything but worry about the care of the loved one that they're taking care of. So to be a caregiver, ironically, at the end of life, end of that person's life that they're taking care of, they become consumed with guilt. You know, that woulda, coulda, shoulda stuff that lots, many Christians will say, you know, if I could have done that, I should have done that. Now they second guess themselves. I just had a sweet lady whose mother died, and she was just so angry. And I said, and I talked to her, and I said, listen, it was your mother's time. You know, Christians, you and I both know, if you were to get in an automobile now, Ron, and go wherever you were going to go, go see that little grandbaby of yours, and you were killed in a car, that was not a car accident. You were in a car at your appointed time. So I try to make people understand there's no greater gift than to give of yourself to the people that you love. Because love is an action word. Love is not lip service. It is an action word. It requires action. And Jesus talked about that over and over again. The fact is, he asked Peter, remember, three times if he loved him, to make sure Peter understood that love that Jesus wanted in Peter's heart.
And I love the scripture verse, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Everything, the scripture, everything, all the years I've been in school and all the times I've preached messages and studied those things, there's one thing I know for sure, that in a moment of time, in a millisecond, the time it takes you to blink your eye, when you open your eyes, you're with our Lord. That's a fact. And it says life is like a morning mist on a lake. It's, we're there 1 minute, and the next minute we're gone. You know, people live, my patients typically are 80, 90. I have one now that's 106. But sitting in that bed at 95 years old, they'll look at me with all sincerity and say, where has that 95 years gone? Gone like a car doing 200 miles an hour. We have to latch on to things that are important.
Yeah, that's it. Make the most out of life now, because we don't know when that door will close. John, I love your book. Where do listeners get a copy of this book?
They can go to Remember Me, JW, or they can go to Amazon. RememberMeJW.com is my website. So
I would love for you to pray for the listeners.
But of course, I have my patients' families, the caregivers, say, oh, chaplain, will you pray? And I just kind of smile at them. I said, well, I've learned to continuously pray. I've learned to pray with my eyes wide open. I used Jesus Christ's example of prayer when he went to the garden and he looked into the heavens and said, Lord, if it be your will, take this away from me. He didn't bow down on the ground. He didn't close his eyes. His eyes were wide open and he was intensely praying. So if we can learn to pray wide open, eyes wide open, excuse me, then I think he just comes closer. But let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we know that you are the Almighty and you are our Savior. You are in control of all things at all times. Lord, and Lord, I ask you, if there's anyone out there that hasn't found peace beyond understanding, the scripture tells us, Lord, I ask you to just get close to him. Get closer to him. Lord, I believe you're always with us, as you promise, and you promised the disciples. But Lord, I know, I believe in my heart, as we get closer to the end, you just draw nearer to us. There's so many wonderful songs out there, Lord, that I'm reminded of. Lord, we love you and we adore you, and we just can't wait to be with you, Lord. Lord, you know I only ask these things in your precious and glorious name. Amen.
Friends, right after the break, let's talk about what John just shared with us.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
What's your story? We're looking for stories of hope and overcoming life's struggles with God's grace. Your story validates God's love, mercy, restoration, and forgiveness. We want to help you share your story with the world. Visit our website, thepromoter.org, and click on the Share Your Story link and submit your story. Your testimony of God's amazing grace will change a person's destiny for eternity.
Does God speak to us today? If so, what does he sound like? Thundering roars? Crashing waves? A booming megaphone? Maybe sometimes, but maybe it's not quite as Hollywood dramatic as all that. Maybe it's a little more simple. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. In the midst of all the noise and questions, God is speaking and we can hear his voice. We just need to learn to recognize it. So what does he sound like? He sounds like love, like reconciliation, like kindness, wisdom, hope, truth. Do you know those sounds? then maybe you hear his voice more often than you think. Maybe you're being led by him more than you realize. Maybe God is speaking to you and you actually are listening. You just didn't know it.
It happens in a blink. It happens in a flash. It happens in the time it took to look back. I try to hold on tight, but there's no stopping time. What is it I've done with my life? It happens in a blink.
Well, what a story. John, what a man of God. He just loves what he does. He does what he loves. And I really would encourage you to check out his website and the book, RememberMeJW.com. And I just want to take a minute and remind us as believers what happens according to the scriptures when we do leave this world. I know when I lost my mother and I lost my father, it was tough. And then this year, the beginning of 2024, it has really caught me off guard. I have lost a couple very good friends. And the only comfort I have in going through this is the same comfort that you can have when we understand as a believer, when we die, we can have the assurance that we will immediately enter into the presence of God. And Scripture assures us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This means that we are going to experience the fullness of eternal life and the joy of being in the presence of Jesus. I can't even imagine that. That will be so incredible. So death is not the end for believers, but rather a transition into the eternal life we already enjoy with Jesus Christ. Just as sleep is a temporary state of rest before awakening, death is a temporary state before our resurrection and entrance into the fullness of eternal life. So friends, when you and I die, we will be reunited with Jesus in his presence, free from the limitations and struggles of our earthly bodies. It's also important to remember that our understanding of time is limited, but God is outside of time. So while we may perceive a waiting period between death and eternal life, for God, everything is right now. So when we die, heaven is ready for us, and our Savior will be waiting to welcome us into his presence. And additionally, Scripture teaches that believers will be resurrected and receive new bodies at the second coming of Christ. This resurrection will mark the completion of our redemption and the fulfillment of God's promises. You will receive a glorified body that is imperishable and suited for eternity. So my friends, in conclusion, as a believer, you can have the assurance that when you die, you will immediately enter into the presence of God. Death is not the end, but a transition into the fullness of eternal life with Jesus. And friend, this is the most important thing that you and I must remember when we lose a loved one, that we can find comfort and hope in knowing that we will be reunited with our Savior, with our loved ones, and experience the joy of eternal life. What a wonderful promise that we Christians have.
Has hope become a stranger in your life? Do you feel trapped? Are you caught in a whirlpool of life and responsibilities that you can't escape? Maybe hope is gone because someone robbed you of your childhood or your youth. Or maybe it's a dream that you know will never come true. We can wish differently, but life will never be painless. But you're saying, where can I find a place where there is peace? Peace is found only in Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected. Jesus is triumphant over every pain, every failure, every heartbreak, and every hope for this life. Jesus tells us, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you would like to speak with someone right now about beginning a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call 888-NEED-HIM or go to www.chataboutjesus.com.
Ron will be back in a moment to wrap up today's conversation. We want to encourage you today with God's promise to you. It comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That's God's promise to you when you choose to commit your plans and future to Him. Now, back to Ron.
Well, friends, my time is up. And I want to remind you what I opened the show with. Isaiah 40, 31. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Friends, what an incredible promise from God that no matter how beat up we feel, no matter how tired and weary we are, God has us in the palm of His hands, and He wants you to know that you will rise again. You will soar like an eagle. Sometimes, friends, we have to go through the little valley before He can take us to the mountaintop of our destiny. I want to give you a date. Sunday night, April 7th, First Baptist Church in Gulfport. The Love and Light Tour, starring Jordan Feliz and Colton Dixon. More details coming out on that very soon. Friends, in the meantime, remember this, that I love you, Jesus loves you, and when you do life with Jesus, you will remove the hell out of your life.
Get the Hell Out of Your Life is underwritten by the Christmas City Gift Show. We invite you to come shop with over 255 vendors from all over the United States from November 8th through the 10th inside the Coast Convention Center, located on the beach in Biloxi, Mississippi. You can find more information at ChristmasCityGiftShow.com. Thanks for listening. And if you would like to share your story of what God has done in your life or listen to previous episodes, please visit our website, thepromoter.org. Join us next week for another episode of Get the Hell Out of Your Life. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
We would like to express our gratitude to Coffee News for their support of this program. Are you tired of scrolling through the same old news feeds every morning? Then switch things up with Coffee News. Our publication is filled with interesting stories, brain teasers, and uplifting quotes that are sure to brighten your day. And now you can access Coffee News anytime, anywhere by visiting our website. So whether you're sipping your morning coffee at your favorite cafe or browsing online from your desk, we've got you covered. Start your day off right with Coffee News at readcoffeenewsonline.com.